Welcome to the 90th running of the Indianapolis 500. I'm Pat Sullivan with another IndyCast. Well, Dave the King Wilson is a well-known personality in the Indianapolis area, and he's a member of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network. As a stand-up comedian, he once roomed with no less than Drew Carey. But he has a great passion for the Indianapolis 500, and he has been working to restore all the radio broadcasts in entirety of the Indianapolis 500. We had a few minutes to talk with Dave about this project. Well, Dave Wilson, you have been involved in a very interesting project in terms of restoring some original broadcasts of past Indianapolis 500s. I have to think that's a labor of love for you.
It is. It's a way to raise money to help restore a lot of those broadcasts. A lot of the old races are across the street from the Speedway here and just sitting on, tape or old DAT tape, and they're just, every day that goes by, they deteriorate a little bit more. So this is a way to pay a guy named Mike Sarawick to actually go through and restore them, get him back up to broadcast quality, put them on a CD so they'll last forever. Because, this race, one of the neat things, the traditions about the Indianapolis 500 and the Speedway is its connection to radio and how a lot of people first heard of the Speedway or listened to so many races, whether they were here or sitting at home having a picnic on race day, on the radio. There's such a strong connection there. And even going all the way back to the 40s with the Mutual Network, and then ended starting in 1952 with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network and Sid Collins, there's that strong emotional tie. And I want to save those races because there's great memories, there's great live interviews with drivers that you can hear that you won't hear anywhere else. And so the money that we raised by selling the races at SpeedwayAudio.com goes to help pay to have these races restored and to keep them around for future generations.
What's interesting about them, of course, is it's everything. It's even the old commercials, so it brings back a lot of memories, particularly for some people around the Indianapolis area.
Well, the old Stark and Wetzel commercials, that's engraved in people's memories. And so, the old commercials are left in a lot of them. I mean, you hear Sid Collins, you hear Freddie Agabation, Lynn Sutton, Roger Ward, Rutherford. You hear, Bob Jenkins doing it, Paul Page, everybody like that, Lou Palmer. And so, it's just such great memories and great information and so many neat things. Like, I didn't realize that in an interview I heard on there one time, they were interviewing Troy Ruttman, and he said that when he won the race in 1952, he weighed 275 pounds. Now, where would you have learned that? But we heard him say it on an interview in one of the old races. So it is a labor of love. It's not something we're making money on, but it's something that's very worthwhile, a lot of fun. And race fans love it, and that's the main deal.
Reminds me a lot, in many people's minds, baseball's kind of a sport that was really born on the radio. And for someone like myself who grew up in Kansas, there is an emotional connection to Sid Collins and the broadcasts and the attempt to present a vivid picture of what was happening.
Sid was so adamant about painting word pictures. It's not a red car, it's a cherry red car, the blue of the sky. I mean, he was very adamant for all of his announcers, wherever they were around the track, to paint those vivid color pictures, to describe the color of blue or the black or how the guy looked. And so they did such a fabulous job of that. And you got to remember, those guys did one race a year. I'm lucky enough to be a member of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network. We do 14, 15, 16 races a year, including the 500. But they just did one race a year. And yet those guys were all pros. They did a fabulous job. It was amazing how well they did with that amount of experience.
Dave, with your experience as a stand-up comedian, a club owner, you've had a radio program, I get the sense sometimes in talking to you that perhaps the gig that gives you the most satisfaction is to be right here calling the action in Indianapolis.
It's a dream come true. I mean, since I was a little kid, I've always wanted to find a job that paid me to be here in the month of May. And that was always my goal. And I kind of incorporate all the old, the stand-up that I did for years and trying to bring racing to people with a humorous, humor slant to it. But it is. This is where I'd rather be than anywhere else in the world.
It's very interesting. And going back to the broadcasts, of course, we have the pronunciations of the driver's names. Sometimes there are variations there. We hear some behind-the-scenes stuff. Dave, I was a little bit amazed, and perhaps it's a little bit of bias. I was surprised at the quality of the broadcast. They were really very, very good early on.
And how they always said, one of the little behind-the-scenes kind of thing I've been able to learn is you always hear them, like Sid would go, let's go to turn one with Mike Ahern. And Mike would say, blah, 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 now back to you in the tower, Sid. And that was a cue to the engineers because they had to flip switches. It wasn't just a deal like we have now where you just hit a switch and you're on the air. They actually physically had to hit a switch and move a switch to bring up one guy and pot down another guy. And so those audio cues were cues not not only to the listener and to Sid, but also to the engineer so they could open up the guy's microphone.
Right now you've got at least three available. Tell folks what you got.
We got 49, one of the mutual races. We got 55 available. We got 69 available. We have 77 will be out soon. And then 82, and then I know we got 60 and 61, and we'll be releasing these slowly over the time until eventually we'll have every Indianapolis 500 and every IndyCar Series race available on CD that's been done on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.
What's interesting for me, Dave, is that sometimes when I would talk to an old-timer, they'd say, boy, there was nothing like the sound of the Novi going down the front straightaway, and boy, I miss the sound of those old offies. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
You get to hear it again.
Yeah, you sure do. I mean, all those different engine sounds. And even in 67, you'll hear the turbine. In 68, you'll hear the shh go by you. That is, but no, that's true. That those old engine sounds. I've had a lot of mechanics, a lot of old-timers mention how neat it is to hear those old cars.
Now, at this point, in terms of the ones you've listened to, do you have a favorite broadcast?
Well, probably 55. And for a lot of it was the year I was born. There was just a lot of things that went on then, and the way they covered the race then was different than we cover it now. Then it was like on the spot, we're talking about it right now. Whereas in 55 and even latter years, Sid kind of wanted the guys to know what was going on and then talk about it. So it was almost like after the fact, here's what just happened. And it wasn't so much on the spot immediate reactions. But 55 is kind of my favorite year. Bob Swackert was a huge fan. Charlie Brockman did a great job in Victory Lane, you know, because, you know, Bob had lost his buddy, you know, Bill Vukovich, and didn't know it until he got into Victory Lane. And so how Charlie handled that, Bob's reaction in Victory Lane, just, you know, I was too young. I was alive then, but obviously too young to live it. But it just, a lot of emotion in that particular event.
And it's always neat how Sid will reference the driver's hometown and say, for all of you sitting back in Streeter, Illinois, you'll be interested in the performance of your driver.
Well, back then, that time, yeah. I mean, there was 1,200 some odd stations, plus they were on, you know, worldwide. We're all over the world, as we still are today. But yeah, he was real good at that and drawing in that local connection to wherever the local stations might be, and that driver, you know, hey, your guy is this, your guy is that, your guy is going over here. Radio was king back then, and it still is here at the Speedway. I mean, this is the best way to enjoy the race, is listening to it on headphones, and you can really keep up on stuff. But Sid was a pro at drawing in those audience members like that. That was a great observation.
In my years working here, I always look around during the opening ceremonies, and I've got you pegged for one of those guys that has a tear or two coming down the side of your face during Back Home Again in Indiana.
Oh, Back Home Again, the homage speech, where they're releasing the balloons. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And it doesn't, it's so weird because the start of the 500 affects you in that way, whereas no other race does. You know, when they start the Brickyard here, okay, great. You know, U.S. Grand Prix, okay, great. When the 500 starts, and even at other tracks, I get a little emotional when the Indy cars are running, but nothing like it is for the start of this race. Just the whole pomp and circumstance of the ceremony that you've grown up with and become so accustomed to and have such great memories of. That's true. It's when we're up on the ninth floor of the Pagoda trying to talk during the radio network, it's difficult at times, and I'm glad I'm not the anchor. I'm glad Mike King is.
Well, SpeedwayAudio.com, for those of you who have a passion for the Indianapolis 500, Dave Wilson's done you a great favor. Dave, thanks a lot for that work, and we look forward to each and every release.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it.